Welcome to the Ask the Expert show, where the experts offer you educational information from local experts in the field of legal health, financial, and home improvement. Join us every week at this time for great educational information from lawyers, doctors, contractors, and specialists in their field. Sit back and enjoy the next hour of Ask the Experts.
Hey, welcome. This is the Ask the Expert show. My name is Steve O, and I actually own the Ask the Expert show across the country, not just in Philadelphia. And this is one of the few shows that I enjoy doing myself because of the expert, Michael Cardamone. And I just never do any of the shows at all except for this one because it's such an important topic. So let's welcome Michael Cardamone.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
I love doing your show.
Well, thank you so much. I enjoy it as well.
And I want to tell you that because we do this across the country, we hear a lot of attorneys go, I really don't want to do workers' comp. There's not a lot of money into it. But basically, this is all you do. Is that right?
It's all we do, yes. I think we're one of just a handful of firms in Pennsylvania, at least, that strictly does workers' comp law for injured workers. So it's a nice, you know, marketing edge for us because, you know, our clients know that we're not playing around with five or six different, you know, areas or niches of the law. So we have everything down to a science and, you know, it's the same idea. If you had a back injury and you needed surgery, you know, you're going to tend to want the surgeon who only does back surgeries versus somebody who's a general practitioner. So it's the same idea here.
Well, what I like about your firm is you see these firms, and I'm going to get in so much trouble for this, but you see these firms that have these shingles, you know, we do this and we do criminal and bankruptcy and employment. And how in the world do you just concentrate on one area and be good at it versus six or seven areas of law? So what you do is you just concentrate on workers' comp.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I took a little bit of a risk when I opened up my firm. It's been about 7 years now. And, you know, it wasn't a common thing to do, but I said, you know what? I'm busy. We get a lot of work. You know, I've built up, you know, a reputation in terms of knowing what I'm doing. And so I decided, let's just focus on workers' comp. And it worked. And it just sort of, you know, feeds itself. You know, you do it. Good job for someone and they tell their neighbor or coworker or whatever. And so we haven't needed to branch out into other areas. Now we help people with other areas of law. For example, you know, our clients will have other legal issues, of course, whether it's a non-work related, you know, car accident or if they need a will done, and we'll refer everybody out to our network. But yeah, in terms of our own practice, it's strictly workers' comp, and it works for us.
Well, how has the pandemic changed the way you've been practicing law? I'm sure it's changed a lot.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, a lot of people, we are pretty much working from home, although now it's becoming a little bit more of a mixture. The judges never stopped our hearings and mediations, and they were basically doing them via Zoom or Skype or telephone, and that's still in place currently. So I think when the pandemic starts to, you know, to relent a little bit here in a couple months with these vaccines on the horizon, I'm sure little by little we're going to start going back to hearings again, and we won't be able to do our hearings in our pajamas anymore. But you know, it's just one of those situations where you just adapt like everybody else, and we still get our work done. Instead of, you know, meeting with people in the office, we've been doing, you know, Zoom calls or telephone calls, and you know, everything's worked out fine for us.
Well, Michael, I want to talk about, because a lot of people think, oh, if I try to handle my case myself, I'm going to save myself some money. And I got to tell you, I have heard so many stories that people who tried to handle their cases themselves just got screwed, basically, you know, trying to save money. So
yeah,
people, you know, who are trying to pursue a case themselves without a lawyer, how that could harm them.
Well, it sounds self-serving, but it's just the truth. It is usually it's a devastating mistake to represent yourself, and especially in workers' comp. It's one of the few areas in Pennsylvania where there's actually a certification given. You can, and I took the test and passed it when it first came out about 5 years ago. You have to establish to get the certification as a workers' comp specialist in Pennsylvania by passing a pretty rigorous test and also proving that at least 50% or more of your practice is workers' comp. And for me, it was easy because it was 100%. But there's only so many attorneys that represent injured workers who are specialists. So it kind of shows you the complexity of workers' comp in Pennsylvania. So the judges at the first hearing, if somebody is pro se representing themselves, the judge will kind of do this balancing act where they tell the person, yes, you do have the right to represent yourself. However, we strongly recommend against it. I mean, just taking a deposition, people can be lost. You know, the cost in terms of litigation costs for a given case can, you know, sometimes be $5,000 or $10,000. A lot of people don't have that kind of money sitting around. And you know, you have to know how to meet your burden of proof. It's very complex. So there are some cases, I'm sure, that are simple. Maybe somebody was out for a few weeks or a month. The judge would accept some brief testimony and perhaps a medical report. But the vast majority of cases, if you're navigating this on your own, I mean, you get what you pay for. It's like, I'm paying nothing and I'm getting nothing. So 20%, you know, people, you know, might say, oh, I can't afford that. But really, you can't afford not to get the expertise, because the insurance company will jump all over you. That's, you know, and the other attorney they have a zealous obligation under the ethical rules to fight for their client, and they'll take advantage of the situation. So I get cases every year, not cases, but calls from people who said they settled their case and I can't unravel it. If they had it approved at the hearing by the judge, you know, and their case, in my opinion, was worth $250,000 and they settled it for $25,000 because they didn't know what they were doing, I can't change that. So I always tell people, you really need to get advice, especially in this niche of the law.
The insurance company's job is to give you the least amount possible, and they're very good at it.
Yes, and it's what fools people is the beginning of a case. If they're navigating it without an attorney and they're dealing with the claims rep, the adjuster, perhaps a nurse case manager who's helping to direct traffic with the medical treatment, sometimes, you know, these people, and they're good people, of course, but their interests are not aligned with the injured worker. But the injured worker doesn't really understand that. There's a lot of small talk. It feels friendly. And then all of a sudden, they get a petition to terminate their benefits saying they're fully recovered. And they're like, oh, my God, this is now I understand that it's an adversarial process and that workers' comp was out to set me up the entire time to minimize my case. So that's sort of where a lot of people will get confused in the beginning of the case, where they kind of feel like it's that workers' comp is on their side. They are not on your side.
Yes. You know, I want to tell the listeners something, Michael, that I haven't really even told you much about. We get all kinds of letters, emails, phone calls from listeners in Philadelphia. And I got to tell you, we have had more workers' comp attorneys contact us who listen to your show, asking if they could have a show like that. Now, we only have one workers' comp attorney, but, I mean, to have your peers listening to your show, enjoying your show. I mean, these are other workers' comp attorneys, and I got to tell you, and here's the kicker, not one has had anything bad to say about you. You know, sometimes you'll have someone say, oh, but they're really not as good as they said. I mean,
yeah.
Every one of your peers have said, oh, Michael Cardamone, he's got a great reputation. He's a great lawyer. And I want our listeners to know that that comes right from your peers.
Well, that's great to hear. No, I really appreciate that. It is a nice section of the bar where there's a lot of collegiality. And while we fight with each other for all different sides of the fence, you know, that's our job. There's still a respect for each other. And, you know, we see a lot of the same faces at the hearings and mediations. And so it's nice to hear
You're
something like that.
Actually listening to your show. Before we go to break, I want to ask you, if a person is on workers' comp benefits, can they look and accept another job with another employer?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry to cut you off. Absolutely. Yes. There. In fact, it's an obligation under the Pennsylvania Workers' Comp statute to be looking for available work. Now, there's some timing issues involved, and if you know, we always tell our clients, if you're ready to go back to work, you know, let's see at least if there's some interest in settling the case first while you have some leverage. And so sometimes you want to time things. But in general, yes, absolutely, it is encouraged to look for work. And sometimes the other side's not interested in settlement and somebody sees a great opportunity and they just jump on it. And that's fine. That's the goal of the entire system, is to get people back to work. So short answer is yes, absolutely.
Okay. We're going to go to break. Michael's going to give out his phone number now. I'm telling you, you want to write this down, because God forbid something happens to you a month from now and you're going to go, oh, what was his name? What was his phone number? This is a number that you need to keep, because none of us ever know from one day to the next what's going to happen to us as to work-related injuries. So give everybody the phone number, Michael.
Yes, our phone number is 215-206-9068.
And you have a great website also.
Thank you. Yeah, our website is www.cardamonelaw.com. That's CardamoneLaw.com.
And if you didn't write this down, we'll be giving out again towards the end of the show. We're going to go to break. We're talking here to attorney Michael Cardamone. He's a workers' comp lawyer, and he is our expert. We will be right back.
Cardamone Law Firm is an extremely rare law firm that dedicates 100% of its practice to the strong representation of injured workers under the Pennsylvania Workers' Compensation Act. Attorney Michael Cardamone is an outstanding work injury lawyer with 5 convenient offices throughout Pennsylvania, from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh, and will make home visits upon request. Attorney Michael Cardamone has been recognized by the Best Attorneys of America, Super Lawyers, Top 100 in Pennsylvania, and has a perfect 10 out of 10 rating on Avvo. Attorney Cardamone brings his fighting spirit to each and every case he works on to safeguard the rights of people injured at work. The firm possesses the skill, experience, and resources necessary to go head-to-head with any defense firm or employer. Cardamone Law has defeated dozens of multi-million dollar companies. Call Cardamone Law 7 days a week at 215-206-9068 for a free and comprehensive consult. That's 215-206-9068, or go to CardamoneLaw.com.
And we are back. This is the Ask the Expert show. We're on every Wednesday from 10 to 11. We've been on with our show on the Great 860 for the last 3 years. We have some of the top experts in the Philadelphia area. Today we are with Michael Cardamone, who's been with us for over a year. He is a workers' comp lawyer, and I was just telling him about all the other worker comp lawyers who listen to his show and who would like to have a show on our show, but he is our exclusive workers' comp lawyer. Like I said, we're on every Wednesday from 10 to 11. Michael, do you need to be on regular treatment to help your case?
Yes. It's a balancing act. I always tell my clients, look, we don't want to abuse the system, of course. So you don't want to treat if you don't really need it. On the other hand, unfortunately, there is this pressure on injured workers to continue treatment during either litigation or even if they're not in court, but on workers' comp. And the reason is we have a burden to show ongoing disability. And so how do you do that? Well, you do it by treating and having a doctor either give you restrictions or opining that you can't work at all in terms of your pre-injury job. And so what happens is if you're not treating, the other side, the defense lawyer for the employer and their insurance carrier, will use that against you. In fact, I just had a deposition this week where, somebody wasn't treating, they got terminated, they lost their insurance, they haven't seen a doctor for a couple months, and the other attorney just, beat a dead horse and asked the question about three different times to get it on the record that my client hasn't seen a doctor since whatever, I forget the date, middle of September or something. So sometimes you can explain it, and sometimes people will reach what's called maximum medical improvement where there's really nothing else to do. They've plateaued, they had their surgery, their therapy, and they're kind of left with just a managing their condition type of thing. So there's a lot of cases where people don't need to be treating every month or every 2 months, but yes, it can be held against them. So it really depends on the situation in terms of how to guide an injured worker in that regard. But for the most part, the more treatment they have, the better off the case is if it ends up in court.
Let's talk about timing. Somebody gets hurt, and tell me if I'm wrong, you just never know. Sometimes you think, well, I'm okay, but then a week later, all of a sudden, you're having problems. So they should contact you first. Are you allowed to direct them to a doctor? Because how will they know what kind of doctor to see?
Yes, absolutely. We can give, a referral to somebody that we like and that we trust. The other side can be cynical about this. And in the case of litigation, when an injured worker is testifying, the other attorney, the defense attorney, will like to say, who sent you to this doctor? And if they say the attorney did, then there's sort of this inference that the defense lawyers like to pursue, like we're somehow out golfing and playing tennis together and that we're trying to steer the doctor's opinions. I would never do that in my life. I've never done it in 21 years where I'm telling the doctor what to say. It's inappropriate. And
right.
The fact is there's only so many doctors in a given geographical location who will take workers' comp insurance and who aren't afraid to advocate one way or the other. And we ask the doctors that we deal with, tell us straight up, if you don't think somebody, has something legitimate going on, we want to know that because we're not interested in that kind of garbage. So we can give out referrals. What I like to do is give a couple different names and let the client select, who they want out of the group. In a denied claim, say workers' comp denies somebody's claim, they can see whoever they want, but there's always an insurance issue. So a lot of times an injured worker will have no insurance, or maybe they're applying for Medicaid, but they haven't heard back. And so it becomes very tricky for us to pursue the case because you can't win without the medical evidence. The first question the doctor is going to ask is, how am I going to get paid? So sometimes we have to explain that, you would get paid with settlement if we win or settle the case, but we can't guarantee it. So But yeah, there are a lot of occasions where an injured worker doesn't know who to turn to, and you know, we have to give a suggestion about who to see.
So, Michael, do you get paid like a personal injury attorney gets paid, or do you get paid different?
It's similar, but it's a lower amount. So in workers' comp, the maximum amount, and which is the standard amount as well, is 20% of the wage loss benefit. Yes, in personal injury cases, most of the firms, you know, are at 33% or 40%.
Right.
Now, they don't tend to have the same kind of volume of cases as like a workers' comp firm. But yes, in workers' comp, it's generally 20% of the wage loss benefits, although there was a recent case where the courts have allowed, if the injured worker agrees in the fee agreement, in the contract, to award 20% of the medical as well. Now, I don't think a lot of firms are doing that. I'm certainly not. It can become very complicated. But generally, across the board, it's 20% fee, and it's contingent. So, you know, the injured worker doesn't have to send any money, and there's no billable hours and things like that.
So why wouldn't anybody come see you? It doesn't cost them a dime to sit down with you, first of all, to see if you have a case, and you don't get paid unless they do. What if you have to litigate it? Is the fees go up?
No, it's still 20%.
Wow.
And, you know, we cover the cost, so they don't take any risk. And I tell people that are already on workers' comp, we can monitor your case and represent you. There's no fee unless they drag you into court to try to reduce your benefits and we successfully defeat them. So we can't get paid unless there's an actual court order approving our fee. And a lot of people, they're just skittish about it, whether they've heard bad things about lawyers in the news, or you know, they think that they're going to get a reduction in their check right away, so they don't want to make that call, or they think they have to make an outlay, some kind of a payment up front. So a lot of the reason why some people don't get a lawyer on board is just bad information. And
yes.
So we're constantly, not just my firm, but other firms, constantly trying to explain to people that you don't have to send us any cash. And if you're already on comp, you'll keep getting your full check, you know, and if things change down the road, then you sort of have to lawyer up anyway if they file a petition. So that's one. It is a frustrating part of, you know, of being on our side of things, because there's just a lot of bad info out there.
So do you educate your clients? Because you keep hearing stories like these insurance companies spy on people, you know, try to catch them in a lie. Does that really happen?
It does. Most of the surveillance I've received over, I guess, 21 years now has not been very damaging. You always have to put things in context. So the insurance company might hire surveillance, and they might catch somebody getting in and out of their car, carrying a gallon of milk out of a convenience store, you know, things like that. And they'll write a report saying that the injured worker does not appear to be struggling. They don't appear to be in pain. They appear to be moving about freely. You see all these kind of almost assumptions that they're making. And meanwhile, their job required lifting 150-pound tires. So what they're doing on the video is not inconsistent with being out of work, because their job is a lot more rigorous than what they're doing in the video. So a lot of videos, once our clients respond to them, don't have much of an effect. Every now and then you see something, you know, and the person has to explain it. But the videos that are most effective is if they catch somebody who's working and not reporting it. That's obviously a no-no. If you're getting workers' comp checks and you have wages, you have to report that. So sometimes, you know, I've seen a couple times over 20 years where somebody was like doing a painting job or some little side job. And, you know, you have to tell them immediately, you can't do that and not report it.
Right.
Because the workers' comp, they get a credit they can reduce your payments accordingly. So, I tell my clients, look, live your life. You can only do what you can do. You don't want to be paranoid about it, but at the same time, you want to be mindful because it does happen and they do spy on people.
Well, Mike, I got to get this. We've had four listeners text us. I'm sure none of them know each other, but basically all the same question. What if you get COVID at work? Is that considered workers' comp?
Yes, it is.
That's interesting.
But proving it, it is, and but proving it is a different animal, so to speak. So that's the, you know, the difficult part of those cases. Now, if you're in one of the industries that's high risk, you're working in a food industry, like a meat packing plant where everybody's, you know, packed in like sardines, or you're a nurse, or, you know, a frontline worker. Well, there's going to be more of a presumption that your COVID is work-related. You still have to prove it with medical evidence and testimony from the injured worker. You still have to meet, you know, your burden of proof. The other side's going to get their typical independent medical exam, and their doctor might try to pin it on, you know, other factors. So, but in theory, yes, if you believe you contracted COVID from your workplace, then you can absolutely pursue it. The merits of the case will kind of just depend, you know, yeah, on the details.
Okay. Hey, give everybody your phone number again.
Yes, it is 215-206-9068. And you can call us 7 days a week. You know, I talk to clients even on the weekends, especially if it's, you know, a new client and they're anxious about a certain issue. So our assistant's in the office Monday through Friday, 8 until 4. But even if you call after hours, it'll usually bounce to my cell phone. So we really make ourselves accessible.
Attorney Michael Cardamone, workers' comp attorney. The easiest show of all in all of our 8 cities for me to do. It's the fastest 30 minutes. Michael, thank you for coming on, and you're going to be back with us again next month.
Thank you, Stephen. I really enjoyed it, and I look forward to that.
Same here. Have a great Thanksgiving, and everybody else,
you too.
Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Ask the Expert show today. Join us again next week for more specialists in their field of legal health, financial, and home improvement.